The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I would ask the children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Good morning. Come on up. Still coming, still coming. Hi. Good morning. Still a few more coming up. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Wow. Good morning. Come on up. Good morning. So, I have a question. Did you guys hear, not the reading that I just read, the reading before that? Do you know what that was about? Did you guys hear that one? It was a reading, and they were talking about laws. Do you guys know what laws are? Right. What are laws?
They're like trees.
That's like a log, like a law. Right. Like a law, like rules, like things about things you're not supposed to do, right? How many of you guys have rules about things you're not supposed to do? Right? Things like you're not supposed to take things, or you're not supposed to hit other people, right? There are laws and rules. And did you guys know that God has laws for us? You know what they're called? The Ten Commandments, right. And this is one of the things. There's some kids, some of the older kids today, their parents are going to have a meeting about confirmation. I'm making that announcement again for you. And one of the things when you're in confirmation that you study is, we call this the small catechism. And one of the things in here, one of the things are the Ten Commandments, and those are some of God's laws and rules for us. And what we were hearing about today, and we're going to hear a little bit more about, is the different ways that we interact with God's laws and what those rules mean for us, and how we as Christians learn to live with the different rules that God has for us. So you guys pay attention to that. And as a reminder again for the parents of confirmation age students, you have a meeting today so that your kids can keep learning more of God's rules. Thank you guys so much. You guys can head back now. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As the older of two brothers, I must admit that I heard this a lot. Well, not the, "owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law," as Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, More often it came out as, you need to go apologize to your brother. This phrase, or the variation, you need to go apologize to your sister, is probably something anyone who grew up with siblings has heard, and most likely every parent has uttered on numerous occasions, sometimes ending in cousin or friend. Even as young children, we all get used to hearing at some point or another that after we have done something wrong, we're supposed to go make amends. At that age, our parents would sit as the judge, and at some point their decision would be made, and we were off to say that we were sorry, thinking all would be made right. Because though we may not always articulate the thought the same way that Paul has, at some level we do understand that when we cross a line with someone, when we break the law at someone else's expense, we become indebted to them. We owe them something. Sure, if you broke that special toy or took and then lost something of deep importance, it could be decided that you were going to have to pay for what you had lost or broken. But when Paul talks about how we are not to owe anyone anything, we must all realize that he is not speaking of a financial debt. No matter what laws or systems, cultures and societies have put in place over time, you cannot put a dollar value on a human life. And when we do damage to another human being, the things that the law seeks to prohibit us from doing, there is no buying our way out of it. And when we commit those transgressions, we are truly in debt. As Paul is instructing us in the faith, there are certain truths in how he is dealing with the effects of both sin and law in our lives. First, we need to know what sin does to our lives. As we make our weekly confession, we admit both that we have sinned and that we are in bondage to sin. In these admissions, we are also becoming ever more aware of how sin affects our interactions with other people. Because of sin, the way in which we relate to other people is always being thrown off. Sin puts us out of balance with them. Our sin not only causes us to be out of balance with those around us, but it also keeps us out of balance with God. And because it is through the law that these imbalances caused by sin are revealed in our lives, Paul knows it is necessary to address to us what it is to live both in Christ and under the law. When we are trying to learn, and we really are always trying to learn, what the shape of life in Christ is meant to look like, we will always be confronted by the fact that our lives are not being fully lived in the manner Christ seeks for us. Paul reminds those of us who have been or will be catechized in the faith that we know the law, and even in Christ, the law still has bearing on our lives. So Paul talks to us about reshaping our lives. He wants us to know that as much as we can have control, there is a greater commandment which is meant to shape our lives day in and day out. The command to love your neighbor as yourself, as we live it out, will very much change the way in which we are meant to interact with the people around us. The idea is that as we learn to follow that commandment, as our lives are shaped and bordered by that law, the interactions which had always led to those imbalanced, owing relationships will be curtailed as we are called to interact in love towards one another. But the law has its limits. We all know that even when one child pays their debt to the other, when they go and offer a handshake or a hug and say that they are sorry, this does not undo the damage that has been done in their relationship. That act, that being in a place of owing another the word of regret or apology, that is an action defined and demanded by the law, but it has its limits. The law seeks to proactively limit our bad behavior, to shepherd us away from sin. But even when we know that we owe someone something, and even when we have sought to make that right, we need to understand that full restoration is not something the law can give us. The law seeks to prevent us from needing to ask for restoration. But the law itself cannot ever fully restore things. Paul is trying to help these new believers to be formed in the law so that those behaviors can be limited. But he knows and is only able to encourage this because it is in Christ that full restoration comes. It is only in Christ, in His love shown for us, that things which have been made out of balance will be restored. It is only in Christ that when we have sinned against someone, we may hear and receive true forgiveness and absolution, just as it is only in Christ that when we are wronged, we may truly forgive. Because Christ, in His love, is always at work to restore sinners to Himself, just as He heals those who have been wronged. Paul knows that it is love that fulfills the law, but it is not our love. It is only through the love of the Father, poured out in the life of the Son on the cross and breathed into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the kind of love which can set us right with God's law comes into our lives. Paul reminds us of the law we know, though we will always fail to keep, so that he can encourage us to keep the commandment that Christ pointed us to with his own words. And Paul does this because he knows that we are meant to live in the love of Christ, and we are meant to live out the love of Christ. In our lives, we will wind up owing and being owed to again and again. That is what it is to live in a world where there is sin. But we need to hear a promise so that we may have hope. We need to hear that in Jesus Christ, who has died for each of you, there is more love than sin could ever ruin. We need to hear that when our lives are pushed out of balance by an act of breaking God's law, God Himself has already given us the means by which we may be restored. And we need to know that when the law reveals to us that we are sinners and we have a debt that we could never pay on our own, we have been brought to that exact place so that we can experience the loving grace of our risen Savior. Because He is the one who has fulfilled the law, so that we may live in His love forevermore. Amen.